Welcome to Comic Talk Today for Tuesday, June 19th, 2018. And this is the episode of the week in which I look to the past and discuss the news, then look into the future in the Comic Predictive segment and recommend some books that will be coming out tomorrow. Now brace yourselves, because there is a ton of news and quite a few books that I want to discuss for this week. Let's kick off with the most exciting news of the week for me. The Max returns at IDW, and I don't know what it means because all that IDW did was they posted an image of the Max saying the Max returns, and I don't know if it means new Max stories or if they're going to be reprinting the Max again. I hope it's not the latter. IDW reprinted the Max from 2013 to 2017, and it was great reprints. I really love the Max. It was one of those image books early on that really caught my eye because it was so different from everything else. And of course, that was Sam Keith doing it. He's fantastic. He was doing everything in that book. And, you know, if you're one of those people that maybe don't want to read it, you can probably find the Max MTV series. Yes, MTV did a Max animated series that was actually pretty damn good. I really enjoyed it. I want to say they put it in, what was on there? Aeon Flux and something else that they were doing. This was before reality TV hit big and MTV no longer was about music. It was about, I don't know, Jersey Shore or whatever it is. Orange is the New Black. I don't know. Whatever they do over there. But I'm very excited. I hope this means new Max stories. I just want to throw that in there. There's really no news, but it got me really excited. As soon as I saw the image, I was like texting everybody. And yeah, very, very much excited for that. From there, I guess we should move on to Lucifer, because even though it's not comic book related, it kind of is, because it's a TV show based on the Vertigo Lucifer series. Kind of loosely, to be honest. But the show was canceled over at Fox because Fox hates television and they cancel everything. And, well, not everything. Just stuff that has a really strong cult following. And it seems that Netflix has picked up the series. The new season will start filming in August, so that's the same timeline as the original fourth season that was going to be filmed for Fox. There is some changes, though, to the new season, because usually on Fox, they were doing 22 episodes, and Netflix doesn't really do that. So the fourth season of Lucifer has been shrunk down to 10 episodes, each consisting of 43-minute episodes. I think it's actually 10 new ones, plus the two bonus episodes that were already filmed. I think they were playing those because they didn't think the series is coming back. But pretty exciting to see that. I kind of fell by the wayside on Lucifer, and I might pick it back up again as a result of this. I think the first season for me was a little weak, but I kind of liked it a little better in the second season. So maybe I'll catch up in the meantime and see where Lucifer has been up to. But I think 10 episodes is a really good choice for this type of show. I know a lot of the network shows like to do longer seasons because that way, after a couple of years, they can put the show in syndication and make additional revenue off of that. And, you know, I think it's 100 episodes that you need for syndication. So Lucifer would not have quite hit that, not having enough seasons. But this is exciting. I think doing the 10 will make the story a lot more concise, make it more solid, and, you know, kind of get rid of the filler episodes. Because it's kind of difficult to do 22 really strong episodes, right? But 8, 10 episodes, I think that's a good number right now. And I think that's kind of where a lot of TV is heading, where we have much shorter seasons so that you can really get the biggest bang for your buck. Because people don't have very good attention spans. Let's be honest. People get bored easily. So 10 episodes, good choice. Good for Netflix. I will definitely be checking this out when it comes around. Let's go from there to some comic book news. There's finally some news on DC's Black Label line that's been announced for quite a while. It's supposed to start coming out in August with Superman Year One. That's a Frank Miller, John Romita Jr. story. That book has been pushed back to November, which I kind of expected was going to happen. Now launching the line will be Batman Damned Number One. This is Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo. That will be coming out on September 19th. Again, Superman Year One was pushed back to November. And then the other history of the DC Universe from John Ridley and an unannounced art team will start in December. Now, still no word on Wonder Woman Historia. That's Kelly Sue DeConnick and Phil Jimenez. Still no word on Batman Last Night on Earth. That's Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. My assumption is Snyder's a little busy right now. This may not even happen. We'll see. And then Wonder Woman, Diana's Daughter by Greg Rucka and an unannounced artist. There's also no announcement on that. What I do find interesting, though, is not so much the stuff that's actually announced and actually coming out or the delays or anything like that stuff. What I find interesting is that DC has decided they're going to be doing some reprints on previous stories as part of DC Black Label. And the list of books being reprinted are actually really quite good. First up is All-Star Superman by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely, which is probably my favorite Superman story of all time. Well, maybe second favorite behind Red Sun, but really, really good. Mark Waid and Alex Ross's Kingdom Come, absolute classic. If you have not read this, I think great introduction to DC characters. There's going to be a lot of people picking this up because, you know, you can buy it in trade, but I think a lot of people that are reading in trade maybe lost a little bit of the excitement of when it was coming out. So Kingdom Come, that's very interesting. Great story. I can't wait to reread it, even though I already own it. I'll actually probably end up buying this again. Darwin Cook's New Frontier, absolutely incredible. Classic Darwin Cook. I mean, Darwin Cook's art. Oof. Frank Miller and David Mazzucchelli's Batman Year One. Of course, Miller, Azzarello, and Andy Kubert's Dark Knight 3, the Master Race, which that's kind of weird because that's pretty recent. I think that came out, what, a year, 2 years ago? And then also Sean Gordon Murphy's Batman White Knight will be collected under the Black Label imprint. No dates on any of these reprints are being announced, but I find it very interesting that they are doing this. It's almost like they're turning the Elseworlds stories from my childhood in the 90s into an actual line. I think it's exciting, and I'm glad that they're going to be doing some of these reprints. In fact, they're also going to be reprinting Sandman stories, which the new Sandman universe is launching pretty shortly in August, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And with the one shot, and then the four books are coming out after that. DC is also going to be collecting Sandman, the original Sandman stories, because it's the 30th anniversary. They're going to be releasing a trade per month starting in October, if I'm not mistaken. So that's also pretty good news. I managed to get, this was crazy, I don't know why I did it. I bought a full run of Sandman, and I'm trying to read through that, but there's other stuff that I'm reading and whatever. But it's cool that they're going to be reprinting all these trades and bringing them out on a monthly basis to kind of support this new universe that they're trying to build. So a lot of pretty exciting announcements over at DC. I guess from there we can move to Heroes in Crisis, which is the actual title of the often-teased Sanctuary book by Mr. Tom King of Batman fame. You may have heard of him. You may have heard of Batman. I don't know. It's possible. He does some other stuff like Mr. Miracle. And with art by Clay Mann. Anyways, this has finally been revealed as to what it is. And the Trinity, so Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, it seems that they have created this place called the Sanctuary. And it's kind of a hospital where heroes can go after a battle to recuperate, to heal themselves, to deal with the emotional stress of being a superhero. And something happens, and everybody at Sanctuary dies. And the prime suspects are Harley Quinn and Booster Gold. Pretty interesting premise. I hope it doesn't become kind of a slow brooding mess. I really don't want that. I know that Tom King is really good at that kind of story. He did some really great emotional storytelling with Omega Man and with The Vision and what he's doing now with Mr. Miracle. And I hope it doesn't kind of get bogged down and kind of make for a longer story than it really should be. I'm not sure how many issues this is going to be. But the first one's going to be a 32-page book for $3.99. It's coming out September 26. And there's some really interesting notes. I'll put them in the show notes, so be sure to check those out. Because there's a lot of really interesting stuff mentioned about what Sanctuary is. And, of course, we're going to be learning a whole lot about that when Heroes in Crisis comes out. But pretty interesting premise. I know he was surprised nobody had thought of it. I'm really surprised nobody thought of it, too. This seems almost like something Grant Morrison could have done 20 years ago. But I'm pretty excited for it, actually. Regardless of what I think of the Batman run, obviously he's a very talented writer. I can't deny that. And a lot of people love him. So I look forward to seeing what he does with this book. And again, Heroes in Crisis number 1 will be out September 26th. Next up, is the probably the second most exciting announcement. Well, it's not really an announcement. It's more of a teaser. So Humberto Ramos, whom I absolutely adore. I think he's a enormously talented artist, does beautiful, beautiful work. He's been teasing out stuff on Twitter with the hashtag Who Gets Warped. And there's been some teaser characters being put out. There was Soldier Supreme, Weapon Hex, Ghost Panther, Arachnite, and Iron Hammer are the characters that have been in teased so far. And I guess they're tagging like Jerry Dugan and Stevie Cebulski and a few other people. They might be involved in this project, whatever this is. And I'm going to get to that in a second. There's not a lot of information on this. There's been no announcement aside from these teasers. Just so you know who these characters are, they're mashups of pre-existing Marvel heroes. So Soldier Supreme is a mix of Captain America and Doctor Strange. Ghost Panther is, of course, Ghost Rider and Black Panther. Hex is X-23 and the Scarlet Witch. Arachnite is Spider-Man and Moon Knight. And the Iron Hammer is Iron Man and Thor. Now, we don't know anything about why these characters are being mashed up, if this is a team, if these are solo books or whatever it is. Here's my idea. And I'm going to go with this because I'm a huge Elseworlds fan. DC, I think, did a bang-up job with that. And, you know, they have this DC Black Label line that they're working on that's going to kind of expand on the Elseworlds-type stories. Because I think people really do hunger for that stuff. I think maybe Marvel is going to try their hand at doing a little bit of this this Elseworlds-type stuff. I hope this is what it is. I hope this is not an event. So if anyone at Marvel is listening, please don't make this an event. Make this a cool Elseworlds story. It almost reminds me of, God, some people are going to hate me when I say this, but I really loved Amalgam Comics. I really did. There's no shame in my game. I loved it. For those of you that are a little bit younger that may not remember, Amalgam Comics was this crossover event that Marvel and DC did. I don't even know when it was, mid-90s, late-90s, where they combined one Marvel character with one DC character and made a new character out of it with, like, you know, shared history, right? So there'd be elements of each character, not just in their abilities, but in who they knew, who they associated with, the teams that they were in. And, you know, for example, there was like Darkclaw, right? That was Wolverine, who was the hottest Marvel character at the time, with Batman, who was the hottest DC character at the time. And it made for some really interesting stories. There's some quirky combinations, some that I really liked. There was the Bruce Wayne Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., which had nothing to do with the Wolverine-Batman thing. It was Bruce Wayne mixed with Nick Fury. And, of course, he was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm trying to think who he worked with. I want to say it was like a Black Widow-Wonder Woman combination. Anyway, that book was kind of cool as well. Obviously, you know, Marvel and DC are not doing these kind of crossovers anymore. From my understanding, Disney is not allowing Marvel to do these kind of things. And it's not because these guys don't want it. Because from my understanding, DC would love to do another one of these things. You know, DC's doing a lot of crossovers with other companies, like the Archie Batman 66 is going to be coming out soon. They've done like, you know, Green Lantern, Star Trek. What else? Green Lantern, Planet of the Apes? There was another like really weird one. You know, back in the day, they used to do these kind of things all the time. There were crossovers left and right, and they were really popular. So I hope this is more of an Elseworlds type thing. And not just like an event story, because I think creating these new characters and giving them some fresh stories, fresh perspectives would really make them interesting. Of course, I'm going to buy whatever the hell this is, because if it's Humberto Ramos doing the art, it's an automatic sell for me. I've been a huge fan of his for, I don't know, 20, 25 years. I think he's just an incredible artist, and I can't wait to see what this is. So as soon as I find out, I'll be sure to talk about it on the podcast, and hopefully I'm not disappointed. But I'll take a look at the images. I'll put it on Twitter so you can take a look if you had not seen it. But I'm pretty excited to see what this Get Warped thing is. Finally, on the news front, there is a new comic book publisher, Ahoy Comics. And I read through the press release several times. I was a little confused. I think I might have Tom come on at some point on the podcast and talk about what Ahoy Comics is about. But this is a brand new publisher, and it's being founded by a couple of ex-Vertigo editors. So Tom Payer is going to be the editor-in-chief. He's also going to be writing some of these books, and they've announced a few. Before I get to what the books are, I think the idea behind the publisher seems pretty interesting. they're treating comic books as comic books. And, you know, there's nothing on here like, let's create these properties so that can be turned into movies or TV, which seems like a big thing for a lot of comic book writers right now. These guys just want to make comics, and they want to make great comics that are fun comics that are really a callback to what they feel made comics great. So they're going to tell really fun stories with cool, interesting characters, hopefully cool, interesting creators as well. They're going to have, they're treating these kind of as comic books as magazines, and it's not in a magazine format. All these books are going to be 40 pages roughly, and they're still going to be $3.99. But what they want to do is tell a comic story and then have some kind of back matter that relates to it. So there'll be backup stories relating to certain characters, or there'll be like prose that somehow relate to the story. I know Grant Morrison was attached to, I think, three stories. He's going to be doing some prose pieces on that. Tom said that there might be some poetry or, you know, art stuff at the end that relates to everything. Whatever kind of makes sense and fits in with the story, they want to put that in. And I think that's interesting because I really do love back matter. Matter of fact, I just finished recording Aftershock Central with Ronnie and Travis, and we were talking about The Lost City of Explorers, which comes out from Aftershock tomorrow. And one of the cool things that I really enjoyed was there was some back matter after the story ended. And the way that that back matter was told was really interesting because the book deals with this historian that finds a lost city under the island of Manhattan, and he disappears. And he's done all this research. The research is gone, but that back matter explains a lot about this lost city. And I'm not going to name it because I want to spoil it. The way that all the history is told is in the perspective of this lost historian, and I really like that because it gives you a lot of fill-in stuff to what the story is about, but from the perspective of a character. And I think that's kind of what Ahoy is trying to do with these. They're going to do, you know, like backup stories. Like there's a book called The Wrong Earth, and the hero in that has a sidekick. And, you know, one of the pieces of back matter at the end of the book will be a backup story about the sidekick. And I think that's cool because, first of all, sidekicks don't often get much love. But I like that idea. I like that idea. Some of it seems a little quirky. Like when they announced the stories that Grant Morrison is writing, which do seem to be prose. Based on the titles, I wasn't quite sure how they related to the story, but, you know, we'll see once they come out. And again, these will be just regular comic size, but they're calling in comic book magazines because of the additional material at the end. And I think that's an interesting way to sell the book, to give the reader a lot more bang for their buck, right? We've talked about pricing here before, where kind of what is your threshold? And for the most part, it seems $3.99 is the threshold for a lot of people. And of course, publishers are moving a little bit higher now, right? DC just announced that all their books will be $3.99, but a lot of the twice a month books are sticking with that price. And so now you're spending $8 a month, and that's a lot to spend on a comic, right? Even if you're getting two issues. Now, is it worth to get, you know, 44 pages instead of 22? I don't know. We'll see how that strategy ends up going, but I kind of like this idea. I wasn't a big fan of the fact that they seem to be focusing on humor. I'm not huge on humor comics, but I do think there's a place for humor in comics. I'm just not, you know, that's not my cup of tea, really. The books that were announced, there were three, if I'm not mistaken. So first up in September is The Wrong Earth. It's a 6-issue miniseries written by Tom with art by Jamal Eagle. And it's the story of a superhero named Dragonfly Man and two alternate Earths. And of course, you know, there's a Dragonfly Man in each one, but each Dragonfly Man is different. One's a good guy and one's a bad guy. And in this book, they're going to switch places. So that seems kind of cool. Nothing that hasn't been done before, but it could come up to be an interesting story. That'll be a 40-page book at $3.99 with a prose story by Grant Morrison titled HUD, Hornets, Holiday in Hell, with illustrations by Rob Steen. There's going to be the sidekick story called The Stinger. That's the Dragonfly's sidekick by Paul Constant and Frank Camusso, and a comic strip by Shannon Wheeler. Next up, also in September, is High Heaven, which is a 5-issue series for mature readers by Tom Payer with art by Greg Scott. And it's a satire about a guy who is always complaining about stuff. He dies and goes to heaven. And how do they treat him in heaven when everyone hates a complainer? Could be interesting. This one seems like it would be a lot more humorous, maybe than the first one. But I'm definitely gonna check it out and see how it goes. Again, may not be my cup of tea, but I'll definitely check it out. There's in October, Captain Ginger, a 48-page title at $3.99, and this is Cats in Space. Yes, you heard that correctly. I said Cats in Space. It's a space opera set in a starship that is staffed by cats who behave like cats. They're human cats who really act like cats, and I'm not going to pick this up. I don't like cats, and this one just seems a little too wacky for me. But there will be a place for it, and again, 48 pages for a $3.99 book. That seems like a pretty good deal. The one that I am very much looking forward to picking up is going to be Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror. And this will be an anthology book with stories by people that Payer has never worked with. And that'll be like Mark Russell, Hunt Emerson, Fred Harper, Sienna Madrid, Carly Wright, etc. And I really hope that this ends up being like a true horror anthology series. And I'm gonna predict right now this will not sell well. But this is exactly what I want. I want a horror anthology book. I'm so going to be picking this up. I'm totally in on Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror. So that's Ahoy Comics. We'll see how it goes. It's, you know, it's tough bringing in a new publisher, especially with all these other companies branching out with different imprints as well. I think Lion Forge just announced a new one where they're going to be doing comics based on like tabletop games and video games. That could be interesting as well. And there's always new publishers coming in and out. You know, some do really well, like Vault Comics, for example, I think does a fantastic job with all their entire line. So we'll see how this goes. I'll give these books a shot, except probably Captain Ginger. But if you're interested, let me know. Get in touch with me at GeekVine on Twitter. It is now time for the weekly segment I like to call the Comic Predictor, in which I give you some recommendations for books to pick up tomorrow on New Comic Book Day. And I only have 6 books this week to recommend. I actually had like a bunch more, and I was like, there's no way I'm not recommending these many books. So I ended up picking 6 out of those. The first one up is going to be Batman, The Dark Prince, Charming, hardcover, book 2 of 2. I know I said Batman, and somewhere you're like, Batman 49? Yes, that's also coming out. I'm not recommending that. I'm recommending Batman and Dark Prince Charming. This is written and illustrated by Enrico Marini, who is a European artist, beautiful painted style. The first book sold out, came out quite a bit ago. I want to say like 3-4 months ago. And it is a $12.99 book, so be aware of that. I don't remember what the page count is on this, but I'm assuming because of the amount of work of doing a fully painted book, that kind of makes sense as to why the price is what it is. Plus, it's a hardcover, an oversized hardcover. And in this book, we have a showdown between Batman and the Joker. And Batman enlists the help of Catwoman and what role she has to play in this final showdown. We'll see. I really like the first one. Like I said, it's sold out, so it may be a little hard to find. You can probably find them on eBay or my comic shop, I'm sure. But really interesting. I love the painted art style. That was really the big draw for me. In fact, I read the book like 3 or 4 times and didn't even like read any dialogue or anything. I just looked at the pictures because it's really a beautiful book. I think that alone for me was worth the price. And of course, I'm a big Batman fan, so I'm a little jaded in that regard. But looking forward to seeing the conclusion to the story with Batman Dark Prince Charming, number 2 from DC Comics. Also from DC Comics, but a different part of the universe. You know that every month when this book comes out, I have to recommend it because I want everyone to read it. And that is The Wildstorm number 14, written by Warren Ellis with art by John Davies Hunt. And look, Fairchild is going to be in this book. If you're a Wildstorm fan, you know what I'm talking about. Fairchild was the lead of Gen 13, which was an amazingly awesome slash terrible book that Wildstorm did in the 90s about superhero teenagers. I love the hell out of Gen 13. I still do. I've reread it. Still love it. Doesn't hold up as well as I thought it would, but I like that they're bringing Fairchild in because Warren Ellis is doing some really cool stuff with recreating these characters. So, of course, I'm going to recommend this. Wildstorm 14 from DC Comics. Let's go over to Marvel before we get to some indie picks. And at Marvel, I only have one book, and that is Tony Stark Iron Man number 1. This is written by Dan Slott, with art by Valerio Skitty. And of course, this is Dan Slott taking over Iron Man. You know, he's been doing Spider-Man for 337 years. Marvel is apparently finally letting him do something else, and I'm excited for that. Now that Bendis is gone, maybe Dan Slott is going to be taking over his role. We'll see. That seems to be my assumption. But I look forward to see what he does with Tony Stark Iron Man. And, you know, a lot has happened with Iron Man over the last couple of years. And I think he definitely could use a fresh perspective. I did really enjoy quite a bit what Bendis was doing over there. He did a really interesting deconstruction and reconstruction of who Tony Stark is and what Iron Man is and how those two things mix together. And I look forward to seeing what this fresh new take on it is. I hope this doesn't end up being another blank in space, because we are seeing quite a bit of that over at Marvel. But, you know, I really enjoyed Dan Slott. I don't read Spider-Man on a monthly basis. I wasn't, by the way, when he was doing it. And I think some of it kind of went off the wall. But I really loved all the Spider events, in particular, like Spider-Verse. I really dug that. I'm very much looking forward to Spider-Geddon this summer, by the way. So we'll see how it goes. But that's Tony Stark, Iron Man number one from Marvel Comics. Moving over to the indie front. From Titan Comics, Tank Girl All-Stars number one. This is a four-issue miniseries. It's kind of a miniseries, kind of an anthology book, kind of really just an homage to Tank Girl, who is celebrating 30 years of comics. And I've never been a huge fan of Tank Girl comics. I've read quite a few. I think they're fun. They're fun reads. I enjoy them. But it's not one of those things where I'm like, oh my god, a new Tank Girl. I need to go pick this up. But you know what? This is the 30th anniversary miniseries. It's an anthology book. We're going to get to learn how Tank Girl got her tank. That's the first time that's ever happened. Of course, Alan Martin's involved, the creator of Tank Girl, and a plethora of other people joining in, telling Tank Girl stories. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this one goes. I've already decided I'm going to pick this mini up. And if I really enjoy it, I'm going to double dip and buy it in trade. Because I think this could be one of those really fun stories that, you know, I like the fun stories. I like the palate cleanser. And this might be it this week for me. Going on from there, let's go to an Image comic in Shanghai Red number one. This is written by Chris Sabella with art by Josh Hickson. And I didn't get to talk to Chris at HeroesCon, but I talked to Josh just a little bit. And I love Josh's artwork. There's just something about it that really hits me, you know. In some ways, it reminds me of like Hayden Sherman over on Wasted Space a little bit. What's the other book that I just read that was similar? I can't remember. Oh, man. But I really dig the art. And this is, it's almost like a historical revenge story, but not really based on history. It takes place aboard a ship. So really interesting that, you know, Chris Sabella is telling the story. I did get a copy. I have not read it yet. You know, maybe I should have, because I could have talked about it before it came out, but I wouldn't do that to you guys. I always like to wait till everyone reads before I discuss a book. But it's a tale of revenge, family, and identity that stretches from the deck of a ship outside of Shanghai all the way to the bleak streets and secret tunnels of Portland, Oregon. This book sounds awesome. And, you know, Chris Sabella, some of his stuff is kind of hit or miss for me, but I got to tell you, his indie stuff, I love every single bit of it. I really love his indie stuff a lot. So I can't wait to give this a shot. And again, Josh Hickson's art, it's absolutely beautiful. Shanghai Red number one from Image Comics. The last pick on the list from Aftershock. Lost City Explorers number one. Written by Zach Thompson with art by Alvaro Saraceska. And I already got to read this. Matter of fact, as I said, we just recorded the Aftershock Central podcast. We talked about this book for like 45 minutes, and we rarely ever do that. But there are some really interesting themes, some really great character development. This is, for me, one of the best first issues that I've read in quite a while. It's got a ton of things that really hit me, the sci-fi, the mystery, the X-Filesiness, the government conspiracy, the mythology slash folk stories. There's a lot to like in here, and the art is also great in the book. So definitely check this out. I tweeted about this today, as a matter of fact. Obviously, I haven't read the books that are coming out this week. This is the only one that I actually have already read. But this is really an early pick of the week for me, because looking at the stuff that I'm picking up this week, there's a lot that I'm going to like. But this is a book that I really, really loved. So I definitely recommend you pick up Lost City Explorers number one from Aftershock Comics. that is going to wrap up this episode of Comic Talk Today. Thank you all for listening. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at GeekVine. You can email nerdylegion@gmail.com. I will be back tomorrow with a rant, some listener feedback, some follow-up from last week's episodes. Thanks for listening. Catch you tomorrow.